This month, we've been exploring Black maternal health disparities in healthcare. And this month also happens to be Cesarean Awareness Month. So we're going to focus on that today on our A Healthier Michigan from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. I'm Lucy Ann Lance, and you are listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY. Our guest is Dr. Patricia Ferguson, Medical Director at Senior Health Services at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Dr. Ferguson, this is a complicated issue, but it's hard to fathom how racial issues may determine the survival of a baby and his mother. What does research show about common Black maternal health disparities?
Good morning, Lucy Ann. And yeah, it is a very complex and difficult, sensitive subject to talk about, but it is important that we have conversations like that to get to the root of the matter. And in general, just a common statistic that we hear is that in the United States, Black women are 3 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women.
Did you say three times more likely to die?
Yes, 3 times more. And the majority of the times, it appears that these deaths are preventable.
Wow.
Very concerning.
What drives these disparities in maternal and infant health for Blacks?
It's very complicated. The literature begins to support that health disparities are often driven by social and economic inequities, which are linked to ongoing racism and discrimination at the systemic level, as well as the individual interpersonal level. In maternal and infant health, race, gender, poverty, and other social factors can shape the experiences and outcomes of Black women within the healthcare system. And because physicians are human, just like everyone else, they have implicit biases, which are typically defined as negative, unconscious attitudes against specific social groups. And even though healthcare providers abide by the oath to, above all, do no harm while practicing medicine, sometimes those unintended biases can still manifest during interactions with patients.
You bring up a good point about the Hippocratic Oath, an oath of ethics historically taken by physicians to uphold the ethics of their profession. And after all, they're used to dealing with all sorts of individuals. But it is troubling to think that you would have something in you that causes you not to to perform your profession in the way that you are expected to. Would this be true, though, you know, when we talk about the overall issue, you know, social, economic issues, this happens even before the mother-to-be would be coming to the doctor's office, if you're poor and you're not eating well, et cetera. Wouldn't that be true also in just any population that is poor, white population as well? Would we see these kinds of things?
You know, that's the interesting thing about implicit bias. When you normalize for all those other factors, it seems that race and ethnicity bubble to the top as an ongoing underlying root cause. So even though implicit bias is different than overt and intentional discrimination, it can develop, which develops early in life after repeated exposures to stereotypes and reinforcement of those stereotypes. The mere existence of cultural stereotypes regarding certain social and racial groups, it has the potential to influence, you know, behavior. And implicit bias, which is inherent, internal, and at a subconscious level, it can affect our understanding, our actions, even unknowingly. So our best intentions might be to do no harm. The biases cause attitudes about other people, and they're based on characteristics, including but not limited to their age, their race, their ethnicity. Sometimes it takes stressful situations like that in a labor and delivery unit where high stress, high pressure, high stakes are there for it to manifest. And, it can be seen also in an emergency room, in the emergency department settings as well.
We're talking with Dr. Patricia Ferguson, Medical Director at Senior Health Services at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. So let's tackle C-section delivery and disparities in that are tied to race. How do you see those manifested?
Well, C-sections, again, are a surgery that's necessary and sometimes is the only way to deliver a baby successfully and healthily. So after the incision is made, you know, we extract the baby and proceed with the recovery. And that just the fact that a C-section is needed is increased risk for complications, severe morbidity, and things like infection, injury to the bladder or the bowel, or even the baby, higher than average blood loss, which is in the top three reasons for the actual eventual death. So there is an injury and there's so much blood loss, people will die of hemorrhage. They can have complications from anesthesia, and they can just generally be exposed to different types of infection, even at the level of the wound. So the incidence of C-sections is problematic because in Black women compared to white, there's a higher risk of Black women getting C-sections. I think the statistic is something like 36% of African-American women and their children are delivered by C-section compared to 31% in white races.
That's troubling. And so do we know why that is?
Even when a seemingly level socioeconomic playing field is established, Black women are still much more likely to require a C-section than whites. And studies have found that the disparities exist despite, like I said, normalizing for annual household income, education, equal maternal health care access through prenatal care, insurance coverage. It, for whatever reason, the incidence of C-sections is higher. And it can be traced to biases, decision-making, the feeling that pain tolerance is higher, or the ability to how a person reacts and responds might be perceived as overreacting and maybe causing delays in, you know, other interventions that might avert a C-section. So there are no specifically known reasons we can put a finger on, but it stems back to that underlying implicit bias in how the decision making is made.
Could physicality be part of it? For instance, if your body's a certain shape, maybe it's harder to birth a baby the traditional way, and that is why, you know, C-sections are often performed. It's the health of the baby. You want the baby to come out and be healthy, and that's why they have C-sections. Could that play into this at all?
Inherently, the general consensus is no, and I think the American Medical Association as recently as 2020 determined that there are no biological predispositions to a genetic difference, disparity that would make those disparate rates justifiable. It's more or less Black women are more prone to hypertension, diabetes, and other underlying conditions, sometimes obesity and weight. But when those are normalized for, there's still something that creates a disparity in how the outcomes are achieved or attained. So we can't trace it literally to the genetics or the DNA or race. It's something else inherent, and maybe the impacts of some of the socioeconomic impacts of racism more so than race itself.
All of this is so interesting. Dr. Ferguson, then, how can pregnant women and health care providers advocate for reduced maternal health care disparities? Tell me a little bit about what's going on in your profession to change this.
Some of the things that are going on in general, health care providers and pregnant families can each take steps to reduce that Black maternal mortality that can lead to disparate rates of C-section and severe morbidity. For patients, advocate for change at the federal, state, and local levels to improve health outcomes. A lot of that is going on. There are a lot of initiatives. There's legislation, connecting with health care and social support, community-based organizations where there are where people from the community that have experienced these disparities are now advocating for other women to minimize their risk. Keeping open lines of communication, healthcare providers and family, bring family in and seek sound research, evidence-based education so that we're speaking and communicating factually, not emotionally. You can learn, and some of this comes from providers and community-based organizations and other groups, learn about warning signs be aware of changes that just don't sit well and don't seem right, and seek, you know, support who hears you and sees you and values your input into your care. Sometimes it can share stories, share history during each visit, point out and make sure you're heard if it's not by the actual caregiver, the provider, someone on staff, so your message gets out and documented. And for healthcare providers, one of the things I think about and I thought was important is we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional in improving communication so that that patient-physician interaction and dynamic is safe. It's a place where the dialogue can occur and a patient is felt to be heard. That, you know, we have to get rid of those images and stereotypes that sometimes patients project, that the doctor's too busy, the doctor seems to be more authoritarian, they're not patient, they're rushed, they're patronizing, they're condescending, all those negatives we have to work through and be intentional to increase trust amongst those patients we're trying to take care of. There is a movement toward cultural humility, going beyond just the requirements for learning about implicit bias, but actually trying to become more empathetic mm-hmm. and more aware of your own implicit biases, being aware that, you know, stereotypes exist, and being aware that consequences can lead to severe morbidity and mortality. So I think awareness is going a long way. We just need to get a better understanding of risk factors, patients' personal circumstances. And that's kind of another thing. Get to know the patient as an individual. And I think that helps. There's so many, hospitals have processes in place, working with the American Medical Association, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, a lot of advocacy groups who are focused specifically on this issue. So they become experts. CDC is involved with the Hear Her campaign. So there's a lot of information that's available. We just have to access it.
All great information. And really, no matter who you are, everyone that goes to a physician should feel empowered to ask questions and to get the care that you deserve. We all deserve that care, no matter who we are, right?
Exactly. It is not okay to have maternal mortality in any racial ethnic group. So to say ours is less or theirs, we want to eliminate all preventable causes of severe maternal mortality and morbidity. And as much as communication is universal, intentionally being respectful and mindful of unique nuances of anyone, in pregnancy, it's a high stakes, high pressure environment. Things can change. Things can look perfectly normal one minute and something happens. So just to be aware, be sensitive, and be intentional in our efforts to improve outcomes for all.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your expertise, Dr. Patricia Ferguson, Medical Director at Senior Health Services at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. For more information during the Cesarean Awareness Month and Black Maternal Health Week, you can go online to ahealthiermichigan.org.